This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There are some people that will minister before you and then you'll increase your prayers. Say, Lord, please let me just go and sit down so that you help me in this matter. That was not the case. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the foundation you have laid. Can we again give God praise for the bishop? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Please take your seat. Amen and amen. I came up here and I saw 40 minutes. Then they changed it. They were led by the Spirit to change it. Amen and amen. So are you ready for more? Should we go ahead and build some more? Amen and amen. First of all, thank you, Wolfpack Lagos. This is my last session here. And Wolfpack Abuja, yay! We'll be there tomorrow evening. I've enjoyed my time here as usual. Thank you, Obi, for just being yourself, for being so sweet. And thank you, Pastor Kodjo and Pastor Tony, as always. I forgot yesterday, in my excitement to see you, that I have a new book. Last year, I had a new book at Wolfpack. And this year, this is called Watch Your Mouth. Turn to your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Yeah, you've got to watch your mouth. Okay, these two copies are for Pastor Tony and Pastor Koju. I'm touching the book for the first time this morning. It came straight from the press, straight to the bookshops. I haven't even seen it before now. So thank God for that. And last year, this was my new book, My Faith Like My Father's. And many of you couldn't get it. It also came from the press, straight here as well. There's something about Wolfpack. And it's just timed at the right time for the books to come out. I came here with two of my daughters, O.C. and Chloe. Can you say hi? And my husband. I came here with him. I carry him here all the time. Izibudim, my dear husband, he sends his love. Amen. All right, all of them introductions. Let's go straight to the word. I'll just do quickly what we said yesterday. Let's start with the scripture we read, which is Isaiah 40:31, and I read it from the CJV version. But those who hope in Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar aloft as with eagle's wings. When they are running, they won't grow weary. When they are walking, they won't get tired. We said soaring is a distinct characteristic of an eagle. To soar means to fly or rise high in the air. To maintain height in the air without doing what? Remember? Without flapping with all that strength. And instead, when you soar, you're gliding with very little strength. The eagle actually, when it gets into the storm, glides 90% of the time and flaps its wings 10% of the time. And gliding takes like a 20th of the energy that flapping takes. So we said you're achieving much more, going much higher, with very little strength. And that reminded us of the phenomenon called grace, when you actually get to do stuff that is bigger than you. Your own strength doesn't measure up with what you actually achieve when you depend on the grace of God. Then we looked at 2 Corinthians 9:8, which I found out was your scripture. Because the minute I mentioned it, you all took it over. And how many dimensions of grace did you see in that scripture? Three dimensions of grace. Who can tell me the first one? Grace for supply. And what part of the scripture takes that? Huh? See. Have you heard that there is safety in numbers? Boot up your hands, stand up and say it if you know it. Make all grace. You see, she was right. She was right. Make all grace as the grace for supply. And what second one we said? Always having all sufficiency. And what grace was that? To actually receive what's abounding towards you so the tsunami doesn't kill you. And what's the third one? That you may have an abundance for every good work. And that's the grace to do what? Distribute or to dispense. And if you don't do that, what happens? You get constipated. And which one did we say we're focusing on? The second one, which is really talked about, the grace to actually. And why is it important that we receive? When people are dying down the road, why is it important to receive? So that we can dispense. Because the only way you can help darkness is by being light. Darkness cannot help darkness. If the blind lead the blind, well, they end up right in the ditch. Okay? Okay, and what scripture do we begin to read? We looked at Matthew 20:1-16, and that was supposed to be our main scripture. We got to it at the end. So let's see how much we can do today. For the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, let's break it down like we did. The denarius a day, we said, let's assume it's 12,000 naira as daily pay a day. He sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour, and what time was that? 9 a.m. So at the beginning it was what? 6 a.m. Right? 12,000 naira. 9 a.m. should then be how much? 9,000 naira. Remember that? 9,000 naira. About the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said to them, you also go into the vineyard. Whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, which is 12 noon and 3 p.m. So their salary should have been what? 6,000 and... Makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, that's the way it should be. 3,000. And did likewise. And then about the 11th hour, what time is that? When does the day end? So what should their salary be? 1,000, of course. That makes sense. They worked only 1 hour. 1,000 naira. At about the 11th hour, he went out again and found others standing idle. Note that. And said to them, why have you been standing idle all here all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. They were statistics, unemployment. They were part of the statistics. Nobody hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. What was right? 1,000 naira in your law. But in the law of favor, what do we find out? Whatever is right, he said, is right as far as he determines what is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, and I'm sure he said that if the 6 a.m. heard him, they would have said, hey, whatever is right, okay, come and work now, you'll get 1K. That's what is right. So he heard that and kept on talking. He went on. He said, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius, 12,000 naira, and they received it. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius, 12,000 naira, according to our math. And when he had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have only worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius, 12,000 naira? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. What thing concern you? Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil?" Evil. He called it evil when you don't understand the law of favor. Evil, are you calling me a wicked person? Let me talk. The landowner is equivalent to the Father God here. Because I am good, how dare you challenge me? It's the law of favor. He called it evil. That is strong. But he said it. Is your eye evil? When you touch a person, get bad eye. You've heard it. Hey, Sister Jumoke again. Now, wow. Nobody must come to this church together at the same day. Ha! Anyway, I hear she's from the same state as Pastor. Because I don't understand again. Pastor wants a select person. Now, Sister Jumoke. You say, maybe they're going to sing. Now, Sister Jumoke. Now, only she begin to feel speak down anointing. Now, wow. You are evil. And you think you are righteous. You are evil. You don't know the law of favor. Anything where you want to agree for yourself, agree with God. Leave me. You submit the agreement which Tajumon can make with God. Her agreement might be, "Lord, all that I am is yours. Everything I am, take me." Have you reached that point? Because I am good, so the last will be the first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. He said there are two extreme ways you can receive from God. One extreme is when you must bear the burden and the heat of the day. Anything you get from God is what you have earned, what you've worked hard for. Therefore, your receiving is a right. You have killed the favor of God in your life. You have closed the door to grace. The eagle can fly high, but it's very small. You have closed the door to help. Meanwhile, you are praying destiny helper. Every day. I need a destiny helper. Destiny helper, they your front, because you are looking at your own strength. The end of month, now then you dey pay salary. And then you dey expect salary. Honey, can we buy chicken? Your confidence is they about to pay you. Believe for chicken on the 10th of the month. The day your salary becomes your God, no matter what you earn, your own don't finish. That's why sometimes getting a good job can end up being a bad thing. The prophet told the king, let's be going. Don't let the rain stop you. Sometimes rain, we suppose bless you, the king will stop you. Because you haven't learned the grace to receive. The other extreme, grace, I trust God. We trust God in this house. Brother, you did an employment list. We are believing. You get up for money, you tie time where you put you a stick in your mouth. Marabashakatayaba. Breaker. All night prayer, all night praise. That miracle must happen. Nothing will happen, bro. And even if it happened by the mercy of God, you know you'll feel hula. Because you have no discipline. As fast as you get that job, it's as fast as you will lose it. Because you end up being the kind that when it is time to work, you'll be praying in your office. If you own a salon, for example, and by 9 a.m., your workers are praying, and your customers are outside, you're not ready for business. Poverty will catch up with you. Pray in your house by 6 a.m. Leave your house by 7, be at work. Where I have a church office, I fired somebody who reads her Bible during office hours. Here am I fired her. I said, we can't work for this office. Now, Bible, he said, Pastor, I like to read. Yeah, that the wrong place. You have the wrong job. You read the Bible in the morning, come to work. At break time, sit in the toilet and read your Bible. Feel like doing it. But don't read your Bible at 10 a.m. He said, we don't have work. You have no initiative.
Come on.
Find work day. Ask any pastor here. I've been working all day in our church. Work day for God's house. Work day. Plenty work day. Don't bring your Bible to church office. If I didn't, sorry. But for our church office, and no one see Bible during work hours. We have church days. We have prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, I don't go see you. From work, 5 o'clock, you don't carry bag, you don't close. Prayer meetings on the same premises by 6. You don't go. But your spirituality now to read Bible at 10 o'clock, I pay you for. I bind you. That are the problem. Now, I want to know them. I know to my time. No, they go make a time note. So you don't want to be at any of these two extremes. You want to be somewhere in the middle. So remember, and if you're gonna have an extreme, then it's better to be the one who believes God. Amen. Okay, let's go on to what is meant to be the real message. There are several truths about the grace to receive we can pull out from this parable. The first truth is this. Number one, God is the one who initiated the whole idea of receiving from him, of grace to receive. God is the person who initiated the idea. Look at the scripture again. I'll show you what that means. And when I read this section, you're going to see some things I will emphasize. Verse 1, the kingdom of God, of heaven, is like a landowner, picture this now, who went out, everybody say went out, early in the morning, he went out, early, to hire laborers for his vineyard. Verse 3, And he went out. About the third hour, looking for them. He went out. He went out. Verse 3. Verse 5. Again, he went out. He went out. Verse 6. 11th hour. He went out and found. Then he said, he found them standing idle. And then he called them, you now go. They didn't even ask for work. You go. What do we see in all of this? We literally see a picture of a restless landowner. Do you see that? He was just restless. He was sitting in his house. And that 2 hours has passed. He got up again. And he went out. If you say he went out because he was looking for laborers to work in his vineyard, that wasn't his focus. Because the laborers were all around. He could have kept looking till he found enough laborers to solve the problem. Who can work full day for him? It seems like he was restless to bless somebody. It seems like he was restless to bless somebody. I want to change the picture some of you have of God. And that's why you enter works and miss grace. You have a picture of a very reluctant God who is sitting on his throne. Impress me if you can. How many fasting you don't do? Your own don't pass your own. Now you are go bless. You are meant to be fasting yesterday. You stop, you eat meat pie. This I don't see you. That means by don't cancel your blessing. Impress me again if you can. I'm so sorry, Lord. You increase the fasting now to 90 days. You rather die than. I see that fast is not going to take. There's a period in my life I had a very bad, the health challenge I was dealing with was a matter of death dancing in front of me. I know fast that period. It was against doctor's advice. I did not fast. I did not lose any blessing. I was quite blessed during that period. So I called prayer and fasting meetings for my people. I no join them. They are hearing it now for the first time. It's a confessions of a pastor. I no join them. So I hide it. Make them know. Because some of them cannot handle it. But at that point, my body couldn't handle it. I was barely staying alive. I didn't fear that this reluctant God would cancel my blessings. I have a clear picture of who God is. He's restless to bless me. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, looking. Who I want blessed? Who I want blessed? Who I want blessed? That one, the hungry, and who I want blessed? I like to put it this way. God has an addiction to bless. And I plug into that addiction. I'm his drug. I hook up. He kept going out. He didn't care about his vineyard. If he did, what's the 11th hour going to do for him? Why would he pay them full amount? Think. You have had everything. It was all about you and not about him. I told you the very first time I came here when I preached on mercy. Don't cheat yourself by not accepting the mercy of God. When you don't accept what God has provided, you are robbing yourself. Because God has paid the price for that. God has paid the price in full for that thing. And I'm thinking you have to pay for it. You want to die for cross? I want done. There's no need. It doesn't make you more spiritual. He was restless to bless you. So you need a boldness of revelation and an audacity of capacity to receive from God, regardless of your past mistakes. I repeat, a boldness of revelation. I told you every miracle is really hinged and will be permanent on the miracle of revelation knowledge. Every local church should have a teacher. It doesn't have to be the main pastor, but there must be a teacher of the word. So when you begin hereditary church, you might miss real teachers in amongst your midst. Because pulpit is not only for your wife and your son and your daughter. No, it doesn't work like that. Every church that really wants miracles and wants growing saints needs the teaching ministry. Because when the miracle of revelation comes, poof, nothing. Now I won't open leg, we won't stretch. Nothing will move you. Because you know that you know that you know that your no knows. And nobody can take that from me. Person no go even fit deceive you. Because you have an unction from inside that tells you this is not true. Because you've been trained under the word. So it's important for us to register that the whole idea comes from God. When you find yourself thinking that you are the one that has the copyright on wanting to be blessed, you miss road now. It was God's idea all along to bless you. You're not the one. Don't think you have this brilliant idea of how you want to get blessed so you can help people. No. God originated the idea from the beginning. And anything that God originated has a counterfeit. And the purpose of a counterfeit is to get you to doubt the original. I keep saying it, you will never see 2,000 naira counterfeits. Think. Why? Original, no day. The devil is a master copycat. And the aim of a counterfeit, listen, is so you cannot distinguish with the original. The purpose of false prophets is so you go miss the real prophet. The only purpose of false teachers is so when real teacher talks, say, see them, they don't come. And this cycle of grace, supply, receiving, and giving, has been totally corrupted with counterfeits in the church. So therefore, less and less preachers, genuine preachers, are having the confidence to preach boldly on this. Why? Because they don't want to be lumped among the counterfeits. But what's the end result? The church is poorer and poorer and in lack and searching for miracles they already have, and the devil is happy. It's just a counterfeit. The original is a restless God who is just consumed with a passion to bless you, whether you deserve it or not. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you did. Raise your hand if you are here before the foundation of the world. We go run. Gather you like demon. That is when the plan was hatched. Before the foundation of the world. You were not there. Your great grandmother was not there. Your great 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 grandfather had nowhere, was nowhere to be seen. You had nothing to do with it. When you know where the original comes from, counterfeits won't get you. There's one poster I saw in Port Harcourt many years ago. Professor and so and so. This picture. I will make you rich, famous, and happy. Okay, so I looked at the man. If they are making me rich, you're not supposed to reflect your product. The man was not looking rich. He definitely was not famous. Some raggedy posters around the place. And he did not look happy. Was a counterfeit. How can your market be, I will make you rich, and you are not rich, famous, and happy? You see, they say, counterfeit. But the original came from God. So you must make a decision to focus on grace. The 6 a.m. laborers, suppose they should receive more. They forgot that even at that 6 a.m., listen, within the vicinity of the landowner's house, those he finally found at 9 a.m. were there. Those who found at 12, they were there. Those who found at 3, they were there because the man did not travel. He went out and found them. They had been standing idle all day. They were all there. Therefore, their being picked at 6 was an act of God's favor. It was an act of God's favor. What do you do, saying, are you then called? Why are you comparing yourself with the other man who was called later than you and seems to be doing more? Or who is younger than you and seems to be reaching more people? Their being called at 6 was an act of favor to be chosen among so many. And they were happy with it as they were. Ah, thank God, they don't give us hope. Eh, they call you as well. 5 p.m. When I just they come, okay, now 1,000 you go get now. They were satisfied. Listen, until they began to compare. Men of God, you want to make your ministry die? Begin to compare yourself. Start today. And now, wow. With this one preach, I never preached like that before. Make her go they watch the page of the person. Make her they palm the message. You are a beautiful original. Everybody has their own flavor. Nobody is less. It's called grace. The fact that you can stand here is grace. Men of God, we can be dangerous people. One day they will give me nights now. The only morning then they give me. I'm talking rubbish. The fact that you were chosen. He said many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? When you focus on grace, you choose yourself out of the lot. They're all called. But the 11th hour, they chose themselves out. They were different. They were conscious of the grace of God that got them. 6 a.m., they forgot. And they didn't have to be called that early. Who knows what would have happened to them if they saw the 11th hour getting 12,000 and they said, hey, what a miracle. Ah, I'm so happy for you, bro. Thank God at least that you walked and you got your pay. You give me cut now and I'll open the door for you. You pray, you rejoice, you laugh, and you close it there. God will have seen their heart. Instead, they got called evil. That's what they left with that job in. Very likely, the man won't call them again. Everybody say God has a copyright on blessing me. When you know this, you will choose your race. You will either run the rat race or you will run the grace race. The rat race is a hustle race. The grace race trusts in the favor of God. You move, but your faith is accessing grace. There's a difference. Let me tell you something about the ego. When the storm is coming and the ego flies into the storm, it doesn't turn back. It goes straight into the storm. It faces it. And then it looks towards the sun. Even to look at this light, I have to, you know, do like that. Nobody wants light. The sun, at that height, the eagle flies towards the sun. One of the special features it has is its eyes. Go study the eyes of the eagle. It can take the glare from the sun. It just looks straight in. Other birds can't. So if you're another bird, there's an enemy coming to attack, the eagle just turns and goes towards the sun. If the other bird tries it, they will either get blinded or something else. They can't handle it. They have to turn back. Because the eagle is soaring at top speed, gliding straight into the sun. It confronts the situation. I believe the eagle sees beyond the sun, sees the strength it can draw from the sun. It doesn't fear the storm. What do you do when the pressure comes? Do you delve into the rat race, which draws on your own strength that is never enough? Or do you really apply the wings of faith? When you apply the wings of faith, let me give you a key about faith. Faith is action. Faith, listen, always acts counterintuitively. Everything say your sense tell you to do, faith say do the opposite. When you are broke, it makes sense to save. Faith will say release it. When your body is challenged, faith will say, lie down there, cover yourself. Faith will say, rise up, you are healed. It's against your natural inclination for it to be faith. Which is why carnal people cannot understand your moves. If you are concerned about who understands what you do, you will never make headway in faith. There are times your heart, the spirit will tell you to do something. Do it! Because God said it. Don't discuss with anybody. So you must learn the voice of God before the storm comes. That's when you need it. Eagle, where did they go? Then I saw no. He's going. Counterintuitively. I remember once, last year, around, maybe it was April, I suddenly found out that staff strength had increased Our staff are full time, most of them.
I now found out that
end of the month, my heart will be beating. Salary don't come. I don't check our bank accounts. It makes sense. It helps me. I have a good accountant, so she does that. I know they check. How many offering came in today? And I go, is that one preach? I don't want to know. I know El Shaddai, that's enough for me. I had to check. I found a period that end of the month will be coming, drawing near. I said, so how are we doing there? As we start, say, if you pay salary. 17 okay in that office. She understands me, say, I said, we are moving. The tension was coming too much. I found out there was so much faith now being required to pay salary. I did not like that. Anything that used to choke my faith, put me under pressure. I don't like him. So, I called our HR officer. Say, give me a salary sheet. I'm definitely going to reduce salaries, right? Definitely the right thing to do. Or fire a people who are reading Bible. I didn't do that. You know what I did? I increased salaries. HR was like, Mom, are you awake? Are you sure? I said, nothing can pressure me. I'm not doing this nonsense. The end of the month, I'm going to shake for size. Say, what's happening? If I start now, it's not end now. I'm building a building. And I will just sleep and not want to wake up. I can't do that pressure, people. I'm too young. So I just increase salaries quite radically. It's only my own I didn't touch to preserve my motive and my integrity. I didn't touch my salary and I haven't done it till now. My salary is still the same. But I increased everybody's own significantly in the midst of the famine. From that month till date, we have been paying salaries with a breeze. Ask me what happened. I don't know. We didn't just pay salaries unplanned for, out of budget. We bought 3 brand new cars for some of our pastors. Unplanned for, out of budget. Because I flew towards the sun. Malachi 4:2, I believe, says, I have a son of righteousness. Hebrews tells us to look unto Jesus. That's what you do. Because I know that there is a God who is just restless to bless me. Once fear begins to creep in, deal with it counterintuitively. Break it. Break it. It can't be held bound by what Jesus has paid for already. So God initiates the whole idea of blessing you. 2, the entire provision is His. Everything belongs to Him. The denarius that went to 6 a.m., the denarius that went to 9 a.m. The one all the way down, plus the denarius that went to 11 a.m. Now get them. It's God. He said, my own things. They're all my own. So what's your problem? Get to understand the volume. Begin to think about the unquantifiable resource that is grace. And who owns it? His name is El Shaddai. That's His name. He's the God who is more than enough. That means He always gives more than enough. He gives exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask, think, or imagine. That's who he is. You must get a revelation of this God that is more than enough. El Shaddai literally means the breasted one. Somebody wrote a book or an article. It says El Shaddai, the God with breasts. Oh, how blasphemous that is. Well, not really. Don't think physical, think spiritual. A woman stores milk or food in her breast. When a baby is born and the mother cannot feed the baby, and there's some medical situations like that, or the baby cannot latch on, there are people called wet nurses. Wet nurses keep their bodies constantly lactating. And they're kept in hospitals. Either a mother dies or is challenged. And the breast milk is the best milk for a baby. The father or anybody else gives permission, the hospital hires out a wet nurse who suckles the baby and feeds the baby breast milk. So the mom can do it, or if the mom has passed, then for a period of time. But the early stage, most probably, when the baby needs breast milk for the development. God's children never need a wet nurse. He doesn't need any help to supply anything for you. He's the breasted one. There are times a mother's breast, the milk doesn't flow. Any woman who has breastfed here can tell you. You can try. Nothing will come out. Say, drink warm water, drink hot tea, drink akamu, drink pap. As if you drink it, you just transfer to the milk. Go help if your grandmother, your mother is around. I say, drink that hot tea, the one is boiling, to push out the milk. That's what I try to do, make it flow. Sometimes it flows so much, as you're feeding the child wants to almost choke. You don't know, the milk will be pouring. With Jesus, with God, El Shaddai, you're always he doesn't need anybody to help him. He's all-sufficient, self-sufficient, able to take care of his own. He is the one who owns every denarius. Every gold, silver, dollar, pound you're hustling for, every position, church, every promotion you're looking for, spiritual gifts you want to come, everything you need, he owns them all. Then remember, he's restless to distribute them. Then it should be so easy to go back to him and receive from him. His name is El Shaddai. That's who he is. Psalm 89:11 says, the heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all of its fullness. You have founded them. John 1:16 says, and of his fullness. Everybody say fullness. We have all received. And grace for grace. Fullness. So you receive of his fullness. You never receive half measure. The workings of God are in his fullness. He has so much. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? I guess when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you got filled, then the first hour you spoke, Rabba Shata Rabu Seki Riburu Sendiki Yalaba, and then Kara De Bu She. What happened? He's finishing. Ma Nika Para. It has finished. The measure you got is finished. Abi? Then he said fasting again, tarrying, praying. So God now poured more Holy Spirit.
It's
finished. God, Jesus, help me. I tarry for more. I need more. Okay, I give you one quarter. Because you prayed hard, there's one quarter Holy Spirit for you. Hey, one quarter. This one will last 1 month. Mashaka kalabu shaka. 30 days. Mala. Shaka. Go. It has finished. No. For some people, as you just touch them, mature tongues come bursting forth and they don't stop. You receive the Spirit full measure for you. Your salvation, full measure. There's nothing you're going to do after you have gotten saved that will get you more ready for heaven than now. So all those extra sanctification, extra purification, is rubbish. It's works. The day you made a simple prayer, your spirit was heaven ready for the period you'll be in heaven, because you won't be there all the time. Nothing that God does he do in half measure. Remember, he owns everything and is eager to distribute it. So you open up your heart to receive for him. Open it up for full measure. What then is full measure? God gives of his fullness according to his calling and purpose for you. Therefore, your perception of fullness or your definition of fullness may not be my own. Because your calling is not my own. Your purpose is not my own. A student of Harvard University may require $40,000 school fees. I mean, that's probably small anyway. Without a scholarship, he needs to believe God for that amount of money. And they don't pay deposits. You have to get your full salary, your full school fees. Particularly if you're an international student. That's what he has to believe God for. Fully. A student of UNILAG. How much is school fees now in UNILAG? Huh? How much is it? 400,000. 520,000. $520. $120,000. $120,000. Pastor, they say no. I'm hearing five. Okay, for the purpose of my 1 minute that is going. $520,000. Let's take it. Versus $40,000. Should the one that is believing for $520,000 say that God cheated him by not giving him $40,000? If you take a year one student in England and give him $40,000, he will drop out of school. You just say, there's one business concern I've been taken off. School don't finish with that. Or if he's in school, a cult boy, don't, he'll forget Jesus. God will not give him $1,000 in year one. But if he miraculously receives 600,000 naira, He has received of God's fullness. So the workings of God according to his fullness, and his fullness backs his purpose and his positioning for you. When you start comparing yourself, you will always feel cheated. What's a successful church? Is it the numbers? Everybody wants numbers. And it's not bad. Particularly if you have good quality. It's how you go after the numbers and why you really want them. If God calls a man to a particular place and he's running a church with 500 people, he may be more successful than the man who is in that place who has 20,000 people in his church, half of which are unbelievers. So your concept of fullness, your concept of success, your concept of having received from God is according to the purpose that God has put on your head. So your life is to discover yourself and stand boldly in yourself. And when the storm comes, fly towards the sun and begin to sow. Then you are successful. Otherwise, you'll always feel cheated. Glory be to God. They all belong to God. The time is up in 3 minutes. Let me just give you the points. Third one is, grace will always make room for faith by providing the opportunity. Grace will always make room for faith. Get that? The restless landowner found the 11th hour people unemployed, wanting to work, but the day had pretty much gone. He was restless. Listen, oh. He was restless. He wanted to bless somebody. He found people to bless. It wasn't their fault. They were unemployed anyway. Why didn't he just dash them money? He wanted to dash their money. It was not their fault. 1 hour to go. Why didn't he just dash their money? God does not sympathize with your lack. He will have compassion. And that means he will do something. Arise. Get up and walk. See, I'm arising. There now. There's something he will give you an opportunity to employ your faith. He called them and gave them a job. Why? For 1 hour. Because the landowner knew if nothing left their hands, he couldn't really do what he wanted to do, no matter how little it was. That's why the other extreme of staying in your room and prophesying when you are broke, nothing will happen. God will create opportunities for you to do something. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how small it is. Just take a step of faith. Just take a step of faith. You are accessing something bigger than any step you can take. But you must step. You don't step to get it. You step because you have it. The guy was restless. He wanted to bless somebody. But he made them walk. He made them walk. God doesn't sympathize with lack. He doesn't want benevolence cases permanently. He doesn't want welfare permanently. He doesn't want to turn blessed people into philanthropists. We are blessed people. Give them opportunity. That's what God will always do. That's why in this story, the 11th hour laborers, they were the greatest exhibitors of faith here. They had capacity. Because they could have said, why are you sending us out anyway? What's the point? The what's the point syndrome will kill your access to the grace of God. Bring 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's the point? There are so many. What do you have in your hand? What's the point? I have only a little cake and a cruse of little oil. I mean, what's the point? Come and walk. It's only 1 hour. What's the point? Just dash me money. Let me go home, I beg. Don't let the what's the point syndrome steal your access to the grace of God. God is restless to bless you. Lift your hands and worship Him. Worship Him. It's a new day. Oh, I love new days. It's a new day for the miracle of revelation knowledge. Never ever say, God, I've not had miracles in my life. What's a miracle? I'm a miracle. Oh, you should have known me many years ago. I was a moving calculator. I love maths. I'm a mathematician by brain. And a good one. And I found that I amassed one key, the spirit inside me. And my father in the Lord flogged it out of me. You want to be spiritual? You can't be logical all the time. Doesn't matter how smart you are mathematically. In God's math, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. El Shaddai told Abraham, you have 0 now, I will multiply you exceedingly. That's not math. Anything by 0 is 0. But in God, anything by 0 is El Shaddai touched me. Lift your hands and submit yourself to El Shaddai. He owns everything. He's not a reluctant God that you have to convince to bless you. He's not a reluctant God that you have to tick off the conferences you've attended this year and how many prayers you pray. He's not a reluctant God who withdraws the blessing because you didn't pray in the morning. You should pray in the morning because you hunger to be with Him. Because He is addicted to blessing you. Father, we receive the grace. We thank you for the grace of supply, constant, abounding supply. We receive the grace to receive, always having all sufficiency in all things. And we bless you for the grace and courage to distribute. And we keep the cycle going in the name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen.